Ty Brady here with Brady Insurance Marketing in the Ty Brady Way. As a successful entrepreneur myself, I'm passionate in helping other entrepreneurs do the same as they rise from rags to riches and get inspired each week on the stories they tell here at the Ty Brady Way. I would like to welcome Pack Richter to the show today. You know, I got to know him on a couples retreat, you and your wife, which I was impressed. You know what impressed me the most is you guys did everything we did. I mean, the Zorb balls, if you haven't seen me on social media, those Zorb balls were amazing. And him and his wife did that, and I was impressed. But it was just, you kept up, and it was, I mean, we played some phenomenal games at night, but I got to know you and learned that you actually grew a business from the ground up. And it's that's a lot of my audience likes to hear those stories. And I'll just say what I remember is that you grew up in Nebraska. I'll start there. And then you can tell the audience basically, you know, in from Nebraska, how you were able to grow a construction industry and how that transpired and maybe where you see you want to take it the next 10, 5 years. I'll leave it to you. So go ahead there, Pat.
Yeah, no, appreciate the introduction. And yes, we had a great time.
Yes.
And a couple's retreat and a lot of fun. And I'm not one to slow down, so I'm one to, you know, keep up with everybody that's part of the group. So, but no, you know, it's been a great journey.
Yeah.
And as we talked and grew up in Nebraska, obviously grew up on a farm. And I think that's where I got my entrepreneurial, you know, spirit. I think the farmer is the ultimate entrepreneur. They rely on, you know, the good Lord and our weather and stuff. And so they got a lot of risks that they take. And
yeah,
as you know, that's kind of what we do as owners of a company is we manage risk, regardless of at the end of the day, all the other pieces that be part, you know, become part of that. It's really managing the risk. And so, decided to move out to Utah. My brother moved out here and I come out to join him. And I always wanted to get into the technology, you know, side of the world. I went to technology school, got a BA in electronics when I got out of high school. And so that was kind of my gig, right? I wanted to find something that was up and coming that allowed me to use my skill set and education. And so I wanted to get into the telephone company. And funny enough, at that time, the way you got in was through, you became a janitor. And then you worked your way up into the system. And so that really wasn't something that I was interested in. I think everybody, once you get an education, kind of feel like that's a step down. But the reality of it is I was able to find an opportunity out in Utah with an independent telephone company. And they were not part of the Bell system. And so we, signed up with them and got a chance to travel a little bit with them. It was amazing, the growth that was going on in the industry at that time. I tell everybody, at that time it was kind of the little guy named Bill Gates, starting out and so technology was a big thing back then. And the companies that I joined here, was a company called Solig Telephone. And, they eventually got bought out by a company called Rome Corporation out of Santa Clara, which we all know is Silicon Valley. And they were the first ones to invent a computerized telephone branch exchange.
Mm-hmm.
And, interesting enough, one of the first ones put in was at the VA hospital here in Salt Lake City. So got a chance to be part of that project and see how that all worked and was just fascinated by the technology. And Rome came in and basically brought in a lot of innovative ideas. It was, we if you think back how far that was, it was, beginning 80s,
yeah,
81, 82. And so back then, we didn't have the communications we got today. We basically had modems and we were talking, back and forth at rates that are significantly lower today where you actually saw the letters, go across the screen. So
our kids have no idea, right? I remember the first computer I have right now, it just fits in my pocket.
Yeah.
And now sometimes I'm like, get that thing away from me.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing how it's changed. And so, they introduced a lot of that, computerized technology into the telephone system. And so, we had an actual desktop, looked like a little computer with a telephone on it, with a screen. And I remember being part of a big broadcast where they brought in, satellite trucks to the company and did a big national, launch of that product. And so, just was fascinated by that. And so I was with them for about 8-9 years and decided to, you know, look at other opportunities. IBM actually then had come at that time had come bought them, and
wow.
And I grew up in it, and my training was in electronics. I did not have, you know, master's degree or any kind of management degree, and IBM, I didn't see where I could move up with IBM, because that was kind of how they move forward with you know, management and stuff. So I was limited in what I wanted to do. So I was looking at other opportunities, and I saw a need in the market for a lot of the cabling and things that were going into buildings that was really not a focus of the company I was working for. They were more of putting all the ancillary pieces of equipment mm-hmm. on the ends of them. And so I thought that might be something I could take a look at and talk to a couple of companies. And they go, yeah, we'd love that. By that time, I'd been transferred by IBM from Salt Lake City to Spokane to open up an office for them up there.
Oh, wow.
And I still remember the day when IBM became part of Rome. I got a call from a broker in the morning. He says, "What's going on with Rome stock?" And I go, "I have no idea. I'm just a technician."
But he's asking your opinion, huh?
He says, "Well, there's word that it might be bought. If you would like to buy some options today, you don't have to give us any cash. You know, if it does come out, then it'd be upside for you." Well, he was talking about $10,000 in options, and that was a figure that was way outside of my realm. And had I done it, it opened up at 10-1 because they did sell that day.
Wow.
So you talk about missed opportunities, right? So that was a big one. But anyway, you know, the technology and stuff that was all brought in by Rome to and IBM as well, I really gave me the idea to launch a company that with my brother and brother-in-law to go in and actually provide all the cabling and infrastructure in a building to support all the technology that was being put in. And that allowed us to be in front of all that technology that was coming out. And so I basically quit IBM at that time. Interesting enough, at that time, after you worked 6 years, they gave you a 12-week sabbatical.
Oh.
I quit right before that. I said 9 years before. It was actually 6 years. So right before that, I quit. Big decision to be made, right? Because you could have taken that. But started out in Spokane, and basically had an office here in Salt Lake as well. My brother was down here. And then we just kind of grew it from there.
But it's run. So just so that you and I have a background in construction, but you're hired as an independent contractor to run piping and cable from like the street to a building, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. So the company that we have now, basically, we provide infrastructure for communications and utilities. So we have multiple sides of our business. We have a utility side, which does all the underground construction to put pipe in the ground, whether it's through directional, horizontal directional drilling or excavation or rock sawing or whatever means there is to get it in the ground, we do that. We also have a technology side of our business that basically is a continuation of what we started out with, right?
Okay.
It was really putting all that technology in a building. So cable in the building, you know, putting in all the low voltage systems, whether it be access control, security, you know, telephones, network, all that information that's really gathered and collected in a building, all the devices that collect that or you interface with, we install that.
Oh, okay. Stuff.
So, and then we have electrical division that we just started about 3 years ago, and it's taken off and growing really well. So we're getting a lot of opportunities in the electrical side as well. So
what need is out there for employees? You know, I've seen my daughter included, and a lot of people that age, they're like, they don't want to do the hard stuff. They don't want to do the labor. I mean, what kind of need? And yours is labor intensive. I mean, what kind of need do you see we have going forward?
Yeah, the trades, if you will, whether it be the low voltage trade or electrical trade that we're really focused in, or any of the other trades are tremendously short of new upcoming, whether there be apprentices or laborers or whatever coming to our industry. Just like you said, most don't like the heavy hard labor.
Yeah.
They'd rather like the offer, the you know, sitting at a desk or working on social media or doing marketing or all those kind of things. And I think a lot of it was because the trades were being kind of left behind by a wage scale.
Yeah.
But that has now caught up.
I was just going to ask that question.
The need of of you know, technicians and electricians and stuff like that, you know, the wages since COVID have went up 30-35%.
Okay.
And so it's starting to kind of be more of an even keel. I looked back in, it was right before COVID, I formed an organization called the IP Alliance. And it was really, the idea was to bring a bunch of the technology partners in Salt Lake Valley together into a discussion about how do we work together to not only attract people to the trades, but work together on new technologies that are coming up, that we all know how we interface with one another and take part in this together. And so through that, we decided we needed to start an apprenticeship program, right?
Okay.
And so that's a big undertaking. When you look at, we wanted to not only have an apprenticeship program, but we wanted to have it certified and approved by the Department of Labor. And we wanted to have it that it was something that people could kind of teeter off of and to something else, whether it be construction management or other types of disciplines in our industry. So we reached out to Salt Lake Community College. We have now just launched, we're launching in April this year, the first low voltage apprenticeship program that they've had. Last week, we just got it approved by the U.S. Department of Labor.
That's fantastic.
And so we're really excited about it. We've got a lab that's been built in the Tech Center and Salt Lake Community College over on Redwood Road. And we'll have our first students enrolled in this first class starting in April. So
You head-speared that. I mean, your wife was telling me a little bit about that. And you're going to be over there doing it. Are you going to be an instructor?
No, I mean, that's obviously an opportunity at some point in time. Okay. There's potential for me to fill in at time, but I wanted to make sure that they had two solid professors there that so they were able to attract one person from their electrical trade over who's going to be a professor. And I'm not sure the other one they have right now. So, but yeah, it's exciting. It gives us an opportunity to not only, you know, maybe train some of our guys that are coming in from labor into our side of the business and give them some formal education into it, but also attract people from the high school. So we're currently working with the Utah high school or Utah schools and talking about putting it into kind of a curriculum, a course in high school. So some of the technology training and a classroom that they would take in Salt Lake Community College, they can get started early in high school, like a lot of the college courses and stuff are doing these days. So.
I'm seeing the same issue. I've entered people on the show that are in the medical field and a shortage with doctors, CNAs, nurses, same problem. Yeah. So I'm glad you've came up with a solution. You came up with a solution to grow business, right? You saw a need, then you're like, I got a need for labor. You come up with a solution. Yeah. So what's next, Pat?
Well, I mean, I just sold my company in 2021. I'm still part of it and still trying to grow it. We've grown substantially since that time. And there's just so much excitement going on in our industry. You know, people ask me often, what's your most difficult thing that you've been, kind of approached with in your business? And to me, if you look at technology, it changes dramatically about every 5 to 6 years.
Yes.
And so if you look at, I've been down in business for 40 some years, how many times I've had a change over that time. And basically the things that I'm looking at as a business owner is what does my company got to look like in 4 to 5 years?
Yeah.
Not what it's looking like today. Today's, another level of management that I have operating in the day-to-day business, but, you know, going to trade shows, keeping in front of, manufacturers, talking to their R&D people, finding out where technology is going and how we play a part of it is all instrumental in the success for our company. So, to answer your question, I'm not ready to retire. I'm, 68 years old and I've got a lot of wind in the sails and I love what I'm doing. And I think one thing that, when we first started talking that really connected us is there's one word, and I don't know if you remember what it was, but you mentioned the word passion.
Oh, yeah.
And, that is a word that stick with me. You can have all the other personality traits that you want, but if you don't have passions to go fulfill, your ideas and what's going on, it's just an idea, right?
And yeah.
So, continue to look for, opportunities to move and grow in our trade and to expand. This point in my life, it's a lot about, how do I educate and coach the next, level of management and team that's coming up in industry. And so I'm focused on that. And,
So here's an odd question. How many people could you hire today? Like you just, if you said, hey, I got X amount of guys, I could use another 50.
It's a good question. I mean, we've just in the last 7 days, we've hired 7 people.
Wow.
And so.
So there's a need.
Yeah, there's a need. We'll add between now and summertime construction, we'll add about 40 people to our company. Just because of the seasonality of our business,
sure,
and working outside in our in agility side.
Well,
of
we get
business,
about 9 months,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. Unless you get a winter like we've had this winter, yeah, which has been very favorable for us to continue working. But no, it's we'll ratchet up to 150, 160 employees in the summertime, and back down to around 100 in the winter, months and stuff. So, but our technology side of our business is really starting to take off and grow. There's a lot of work, in the Utah market coming up into the data centers.
Yeah.
There's a lot of data centers being built. Focus is on not only Utah for the market from a labor perspective. It's just the talent that we have here, the training that we have locally through our higher education. And then it's a good place for, construction environment too. So, I know that there's several companies that move here just because of the grids of the power that come into this valley from different directions and a lot of other, reasons as well. But
there is a lot of talent in Utah.
There is.
I think it has something to do with the culture, being self-reliant, go to college. I mean, that's taught at a very young age. I have a bachelor's degree in applied science and industrial design. I don't know if I told you that.
No, yeah.
So I have a bachelor's degree and, similar to me is you get to a certain level in a career and then you're having to make a shift to go somewhere else or you don't see it going anywhere or you like go back to school when you're with IBM, yeah, and go get a master's degree, right? And you can, yeah, move up that corporate ladder. Yeah. I've never wanted to be one of a corporate guy.
Yeah.
And I don't know that I'd ever work for some. I have, but I don't know that I would do it again. One other story you told me, you about pigs. Share that with these. I mean, what you did, I mean, as an entrepreneur at a young age, right? What you did with pigs.
Yeah, so you always kind of reach back at a point in your life and kind of look at the journey and what kind of got you started and so you don't realize it at the time but my father, being an entrepreneur that he was, had me do a number of things that only today do I realize why he did them.
Yeah.
And one of them was you need to go work, you need to go make money, you got to go buy your own car, you got to do all these things yourself. And so the typical farmer, whether you're helping, the neighbors, make hay or harvest or whatever. But my dad had a cattle farm, but he didn't have pigs. And so we had an uncle that had pigs and we were always fascinated by them. So we were in a sell barn. We always went to sell barn with my dad where he bought and sold cattle and they had pigs there. And I talked him into helping me buy a sow at the sell barn. And so we bought it and it was pregnant and it had 3 little pigs. And so my brother and I, we basically started a hog farm, in dad's operation. And, that was kind of our means of getting money to, do our fun type of stuff with kids. But it was also taught us a lot about, business and
profit and loss.
You got to get up in the morning and stuff like that. I know that I had to go borrow money one time because I didn't have enough money to pay the feed bill. And so dad, basically set up a meeting with me with a banker that he went to. And
you went to a bank to get a loan?
At 10 years old, I still remember the lady's name was June Neckel, and she sat down and said she instructed me on how to go sit in front of the banker and have a conversation with her. Now looking back at it, this was all arranged by dad, and
but
I didn't know it at the time, and so I had to go in there and close sign on a loan at 10 years old with my dad and know that I had to pay it back. And so just good little things like that that you pick up back now that taught you back at that time and it stuck with you all the time. And same thing, my dad would take me to what they had co-op meetings with local towns. Farmers would come and have a co-op and they'd have, manufacturers, whether it be, corn or fertilizer or whatever, come in and give speeches. But my dad would always take me to them. And I was the only child at 10, 12 years old, that would be at those type of meetings. And so, I learned that was important to get educated you know, outside the normal formal education, mm-hmm. There's other people that can teach you things, you know, and to reach out constantly to people and always be learning. It was kind of a principle that was taught through that to me. That allowed me to, at the time when I was a senior, I was voted president of the Future Farmers of America for Nebraska.
Wow.
Was not able to fulfill that role because I was going to technical electronics school, but it was fun. That's you're picked by your peers. So there's like 250 kids that go to a summer camp and basically you play kind of the political game and I still to this day don't know why they picked me, but it was fun. It was kind of a cool thing. But that's kind of the big story, if you will.
I was amazed that you told me, hey, I was 10 years old. I'm bought a sow, borrowed the money. I mean, a lot like my mom used to, I had a candy little shack with my sister and she floated the money, right? But I had to pay her back. But we were the candy shack and everybody came over and got candy for us to go home from school and then took that. And I'm like, well, this is too much to manage. So then I got a Coke machine and put it on the porch and worked it out that way. But it reminds me of those things. Any last thoughts you'd like to leave with our audience today? And then if somebody wanted to get a hold of you, how would they reach out to you if they wanted to get a hold of you? If you'd like to share that.
Yeah, I mean, if they'd like to get a hold of me, they can reach me at americomtech.com.
Okay.
is the website. And my web address is patrichter@americomtech.com, okay. pat.richter@americomtech.com. And that's probably the best way to reach out to me.
I just don't know if there's anybody on there and want to say, hey, I'm looking for a summer job or I'd be interested in learning or maybe the college thing. I mean, I got a lot of different listeners of variety and that's what this show's about.
Yeah. I think people need to know that there's a great living that can be made in the trades.
Yes.
There's great opportunities right now, not only with the apprenticeship program that we're bringing in, but all the trades are enhancing their apprenticeship programs to try to bring more people into our trades. When you look at, pre-COVID or even back in the 2008 and 2009, there's a lot of people that left our industry and they didn't come back.
I did.
Yep.
That was one of them.
Yep, yeah, exactly. And so they got trained in other things and didn't come back. So you look at what's going on right now, the shortage just creates a lot of opportunity for people. Americom has both the apprenticeship program now and a low voltage, but we also have a full electrical apprenticeship program as well. And so we're bringing people into both of those programs. And then we have continued education within our organization from manufacturers and stuff that come in, obviously, and train. But a great opportunity to start a career and great way of stepping up and making some pretty good money, if you're in it for a few years. So, yeah.
I appreciate you sharing your thoughts, your story. It's inspiring. I mean, so many great things you can take off of this interview, and I love doing them. But as always, thank you for being on the show.
Well, thank you.
As always, share, like, and subscribe, and we'll catch you on the next one.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Type Brady Way. As always, share, like, and subscribe. Go to Instagram at ty.r.brady. And as always, love hearing from you. And let me know what you want to learn on the show or what you'd like me to bring up on the show. Thanks.
You can find the Ty Brady Way on Instagram as well as Facebook. To stay connected with giveaways and Ty himself, go ahead and follow at ty.r.brady on Instagram as well as Facebook. This podcast was recorded, edited, and produced by Whitney Face Media Marketing. And the theme music is an excerpt from Hot Chicken of the Woods by Isaac Joel.